Casey Corcoran Podcast.
People Magazine is calling you and Vladimir Putin the hottest celebrity couple of the summer. Are you guys dating, and when did the relationship start?
I have no relationship with Putin.
Okay, then why did you change your Facebook relationship status to It's Complicated and then tag him in a pic of you guys from 2015 together at a Taylor Swift concert?
Not together.
You looked pretty together.
He said very nice things about me. I remember years ago, he said something very nice about me.
Oh, you definitely like him.
But I have no relationship with him.
Look at you. Look at your face.
I mean, he was saying very good things about me, but I don't have a relationship with him. I didn't meet him. I haven't spent time with him. I didn't have dinner with him. I didn't go hiking with him.
Did you make out with him?
Oh, maybe once.
What do you make of him going into Ukraine, which I understand is a country?
He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine.
Oh, no, he's been there for 2 years.
Don't blame Donald Trump for that.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
Tuesday, March 1st, 2022, 257 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. Welcome to JCOnTheLine.com. It is the JC Corcoran Podcast. Well, is it good news? It appears to be. I've been talking about this forever, and so they set the deadline. Major League Baseball said we don't have a deal by 7 p.m. on Monday, which was yesterday, February 28th. Then we start lopping games off of the Major League Baseball schedule. Well, these goofballs met for 16 hours yesterday. They were added until 1:30 in the morning, and so they have extended the deadline now till 4 o'clock this afternoon. One reporter familiar with all this thing said that they were actually very close. So as is usual with any serious negotiation, you go to 11:59, 59, 59, 59, and then people start actually moving. And, you know, it's going to start costing them money. And so that's the story on that. But anyhow, so after 60 hours of negotiations until 1:30, they got till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Maybe we'll have baseball on time after all. Let's see. Today is Fat Tuesday. Tomorrow here on the podcast, I'll have my review of The Batman, Robert Pattinson from the Twilight series with the leading role. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Movie opens on Friday. I'm going to go right to this vodka story because you're starting to see the idiots pouring out vodka into the streets. Vodka, which they have already purchased, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, if you're saying, I'm not going to buy any Russian vodka from this point forward, okay, then I'm with you. The only problem is you still got to be careful.
People know the name Smirnoff, right? That's a Russia-based brand. It has roots, at least, in Russia, but it's actually owned by a British company and made in the U.S. of A. in Illinois. Stoli Vodka is another one that's pretty popular that people will associate with Russia. The word Stoli, right, does, but instead, it is made in Latvia, and the company that owns Stoli is based in Luxembourg. And that is a member of NATO. So take a look at the statement that the Stoli Group sent to CNN Business saying, you know, we don't want to be involved in this, saying for decades, Stoli Group has supported the marginalized and those at risk of unwarranted aggression. We stand now with all Ukrainians and Russians calling for peace. That came from a company spokesperson. So there's the symbolism there of pouring out these brands that you think are connected with Russia. But when you dig a little deeper, you'll see that about 1% or less than 1% of all the vodka consumed in the U.S. is actually made in Russia. You want to look for brands Russian Standard and Green Mark. Those are tied to Russia directly. But the symbolism, Fred, is there.
My name is JC, not Fred, but I'll let that one slide. But that's pretty interesting, you know, because people would just naturally make assumptions. And when you do that, obviously, that's when you get in trouble. Speaking of all that Russia stuff, Joe Rogan got duped by a fake news story that claims Steven Seagal was taking up arms for the Russian military. He admitted his error on social media, but he also pointed out that Seagal was banned from Ukraine in 2017 because he was labeled a security threat. As you may know, Seagal and Putin are buddies. The NHL is cutting Russia off. They said, and here's the quote, effective immediately, we are suspending our relationships with our business partners in Russia, and we're pausing our Russian language, social, and digital media sites. Looks like South Park is taking on the Ukraine situation tomorrow night. There's a teaser up on the internet. Movie studios now canceling the Russian releases of movies like The Batman and Morbius. Joe Biden better have the speech of his life tonight. His approval rating is in the upper 30s. His approval rating on his handling of the Russian situation is 33%. State of the Union tonight on all of the networks. They even do pregame shows and postgame shows, like it's a damn football game or something on all the cable channels. Where the hell do you start? If you're Biden tonight, not only because you're trying to resurrect your presidency, but also just in terms of importance, what do you do? What do you say? Do you start with Ukraine? Because a lot of people would say, fuck Ukraine. Start with gas prices. Start with inflation. That's the stuff that is directly affecting us in our everyday lives. A lot of people don't give a rant's ass about Ukraine, by the way, even though you should, but a lot of people still don't. CNN poll released yesterday, 83% of Americans polled want the United States to employ more sanctions against Russia. Oh, you're gonna love this. Listen to this. 42% want military action against Russia. 42%. Almost half of the American population says, yeah, let's go in there and start World War III. See, people have been playing too many video games and watching videos on YouTube of, you know, drones blowing up buildings and stuff. They forget that if you have an actual war, American teenagers come home in body bags. If they're lucky, they come home in body bags. Sometimes they're blown to bits so badly they don't even have that. 42% want to flirt with World War III. Jesus. And you get those rules of engagement. This is why I would never be good in the military. Well, it's one of many reasons why I would never be good in the military. But this idea that war has rules, we found out in Vietnam, that's a bunch of bullshit. But there are, I guess you'd say, little laws. It's Geneva Convention stuff. And Putin being accused of using something called a vacuum bomb, which I never even heard of before yesterday. But apparently it uses the available oxygen in the air at the time to cause a longer explosion. Instead of just boom, I guess it just goes boom. I don't know. But using one of these things is in violation of the Geneva Convention. What a surprise that Putin would be breaking laws and trying to get away with even more stuff.
Even though he stayed, there were rumors spread by Russia that Zelensky had abandoned Kyiv in secret. So in response, he posted this video to say, "Nyet."
Всім добрий вечір. Лідер фракції тут.
Good evening. Good day. The Prime Minister Шмигаль is here. The party leader is here. The head of the president's administration is here. And obviously, the president's here. All of us are here. Our military are here. Our civil servants are here, defending our independence and our state. And we mean to keep it that way. Glory to our allies. Glory to Ukraine.
That's incredible. He's not fleeing. He's not abandoning ship. He's staying. He's like the captain of the Titanic if the Titanic spent 5 days successfully beating the iceberg. This bravery is especially surprising because before he was a politician, Zelensky was one of Ukraine's most popular TV comedians. Your move, Miss Maisel.
Now, as funny as that is, and it was funny, it struck me in the middle of the night. I was up very, very late last night. I drink caffeine-free Diet Coke, but they were out of it because of supply chain issues, I guess, and I forgot. So last night, I'm not thinking. I'm just drinking, tankards of Diet Coke, but it's not the caffeine-free stuff. And so I was up till like 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're sitting there just staring at the television. You don't even know what the hell you're watching. You're just like, how come I can't fall asleep? And I did have, as I said, sort of an epiphany, a moment of clarity, because this stuff is fun now. This, you know, this is like the John Hughes movies or those teen comedy things where some kid is getting bullied, and at one part in the movie he starts fighting back and everybody's cheering and everything's great, but then the bully's buddies show up and they beat the kid to a pulp. See, this is really fun right now because you're watching, you know, David beat Goliath, and the Zelensky guy is absolutely amazing. But am I the only person who's sort of had the thought in the back of their head, this won't last because eventually Putin is going to bring out the heavy artillery and that's going to be it? And you better get a good look at Zelensky now, because when they do grab him, and I suspect they probably will, it's not going to be the storybook ending. As much as we want to believe, that's not how this is going to go. This is fun. It's entertaining, and I use those words not capriciously. It's just a sort of a dose of reality. This isn't going to end well. It's not going to be the storybook ending. Did you see the caravan going in there? They say it's something like 40 miles long. It's just truck and tank and artillery and all that sort of stuff, one after another for 40 miles. Headed right into Kyiv. And by the way, that's the other thing about this. We were talking about mispronunciations yesterday, because a lot of people say Moscow, and it's not, it's Moscow. And what's the other one they blow? Oh, yeah, even Ukraine. It's Ukraine. It's not Ukraine. So now it turns out that the Russian pronunciation of that city is more like Kiev. And in a way, I guess it sort of shows what side you're on, depending on how you pronounce it, because the Ukrainian pronunciation is Kyiv. So if you hear anybody say Kiev, they're on the wrong side. And again, going back, you know, one of our mottos here is that we do politics only when it's absolutely unavoidable. Well, it's unavoidable today because, again, tonight you got that State of the Union thing, and it'll be interesting to see how much support Biden seems to be getting when he does start talking about Ukraine. If for some reason you don't want to watch that, an hour later on HBO, there's a two-part documentary where Larry David is interviewed by his friend Larry Charles. The Larry David Story, 8 o'clock tonight on HBO. State of the Union starts at 7. I think that's the pregame show. But it's like I said, you know, there's a little voice in the back of my head in the middle of the night that said, you know what? It probably only is a matter of time. And when it gets to that 11th hour and the Russians are just getting ready to take over the stuff that they really want to take over, well, what do you think? Do you think Zelensky is just going to hand the keys to the building over to the guys and then leave peacefully? This is all great right now. It's tremendously inspirational. And you just see these people who are just, you know, making Molotov cocktails like crazy. Just, you know, you got 90-year-old grandmothers with machine guns. The resolve of the Ukrainian people is just, you know, inspirational is not even a powerful enough word. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I just don't think that this is going to be the big storybook ending. And nothing would please me more than to be wrong on this. Today is the 90th anniversary of the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby back in 1932. After a two-year manhunt, police arrested 35-year-old German illegal immigrant Bruno Hauptmann, who was convicted and executed as a direct result of the case. The kidnapping became a federal crime. Mickey Mantle announced his retirement from baseball on this date 53 years ago in 1969. People, this was a really underrated movie. It was called The Sure Thing. It came out in 1985, 37 years ago today. John Cusack, Anthony Edwards, and Daphne Zuniga, who only did a couple more movies after that and then sort of disappeared. But one of the main reasons I bring it up here, it's a Rob Reiner movie. And people forget that he directed the movie. People have forgotten that movie. It's actually pretty darn good. And it was 27 years ago today, 1995. I was in New York for the Grammy Awards. It was a big, big night for Sheryl Crow, who won Best New Artist, Record of the Year. Springsteen also won 4 Grammys, including Song of the Year for Streets of Philadelphia. Tony Bennett won Best Album for MTV Unplugged. We were in New York for that thing. They had us broadcasting during Grammy Week out of the Hard Rock in Midtown Manhattan. And this is a great story. Like I said, we were there for a couple of days, and I'm sort of watching the weather guys, and they're like, "We're going to have to watch this one. And of course, the morning of the last broadcast, I think we did five shows spread over 5 days there. The morning of the last broadcast, they issue a winter storm warning. And so now I'm sitting there, we're doing the interviews, but I brought all my stuff because I checked out of the hotel. And instead of staying, I figured, you know what I'm going to do? I'm moving up my flight. I'm going to try to get the hell out of here and beat the storm. So we finish the show. I grab a cab, hightail it to LaGuardia. The snow is already falling like crazy. We get to LaGuardia. I start to get out of the car, and everybody standing in front of the terminal starts yelling, "Keep your car, keep your car. The airport is closed." And I found out that a jet had just run off the runway. So the snow was coming like crazy. They were talking about, I don't know, a foot of snow, airport's closed, plane's off the runway. And so I tell the cab driver, "Take me back to the hotel." So we went back to the hotel that I had just checked out of. And I said, "Please, please," but they were like, "We understand. We know what's going on. Yes, you can have your room back." So I get the room in the hotel. And believe it or not, I was staying at the Waldorf. That is the hotel in Scent of a Woman. And the reason I was there is because my wife at the time belonged to the Junior League, and the Junior League had some sort of reciprocal agreement with the Waldorf. And, you know, you have these beautiful, elaborate rooms that, you know, look like something at Trump Tower. But then they also have a section of the hotel, which is sort of like the equivalent of an attic, really small rooms. But you know what? You're staying at the frickin' Waldorf. And the rooms are very, relatively inexpensive compared to what a normal room at the Waldorf would cost you. One of those hotels where you have to have a jacket on if you even walk down into the lobby. So I go, I throw my stuff back in the room, and I'm like, this has been a harrowing day. And my engineer, Scott Clifton, is with me. And I remember in the basement of the hotel, this is great because it's snowing like crazy. I don't want to go back outside. But I say to him, you know, there's a Japanese restaurant in the basement of this building. As long as we're stuck here, we might as well enjoy ourselves. So we go downstairs. The restaurant is basically empty. And we sit down in a booth and we start getting ready to order some food. Moments later, the guy who was the opening act for Frank Sinatra for about 14 years, and a guy that we had on the show many times, and a fellow Chicagoan, by the way, comedian Tom Dreesen, comes walking in. He's wearing one of those David Letterman late night athletic jackets, you know, like with the leather sleeves, like a varsity jacket. And he walks in. I'm like, "Tom!" And he looks over, and he can't remember my name, of course, but he knows who I am. And he said, snapping his fingers like I'm like, "Yeah, I know it's JC. I know you meet a lot of people." He's like, "Yeah, from St. Louis." I'm like, "Of course." He goes, "You're from Chicago." I'm like, "That's right. You got the right guy." So he did remember me, and he was stuck in the hotel too because of the blizzard. So I invited him to sit down, and this son of a gun sat there and told Scott and I Frank Sinatra stories for like 3 hours. We bought him dinner. We charged it to the station. It was one of the best interviews that I never got because he didn't want to record anything, but he just sat there and just spoke freely. John Hewlett and I had a conversation like that for about an hour with Bob Gibson once. And Bob was like, I don't want anything recorded here. But he just stood there and told us stories about pretty much the 1950s and all the racism and all the stuff that was going on in the minor leagues and even in Major League Baseball. Just one story after another about, you know, if you saw the movie 41 about Jackie Robinson, it's all the same crap. You wonder why Gibson got so mean out there on the mound. All he had to do is draw from his personal experiences in life, and I'm sure you go out there and be plenty mean. Fox 2's got an overhead shot. Something going on here?
Science Center in the background, and it's a great view because traffic is light both directions.
Oh, they're just showing it because there's an overhead view of the Science Center. It's just because it's going to be such a beautiful day. There's going to be some great days here in weather in the St. Louis area and across the entire Midwest. Beautiful weather. Try to enjoy it because, you know, I was just talking with Dave Murray the other day, and I was reminding him that on yesterday's state in 2015, we had a 6-inch snowstorm. And also, you can have severe weather because yesterday was the anniversary of the Perryville tornado in 2017. So you get weather like this at this time of year. Enjoy it because, oh, wait, what's Kent got here?
And 79 is our temperature forecast for tomorrow, which is the record high. Lots of sunshine, 55, little dry cool front moves through midweek. Cools the temperatures down a little bit.
But then 63 on Friday and 74 on Saturday.
And again, that rain chance on Saturday and Sunday, particularly late Sunday into Monday. And that does cool it off a little bit. And it does look like
rain for the second half of the weekend and then the temperatures cool off. But pretty damn nice between now and then. It won't last. We're not going from this directly to summer, okay? It's not spring yet. Don't be getting ideas. All right, a couple of show business tidbits here. Beetlejuice 2, apparently closer to becoming a reality thanks to Brad Pitt. His production company, Plan B, is now involved, which means filming could start as early as summer. The word is that Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder are returning as Beetlejuice and Lydia, and Tim Burton is coming back to direct. Salma Hayek says her most fun day on the set of House of Gucci was when she worked with Lady Gaga because she's a good kisser. Don't get too excited, though. That scene was cut out of the movie, all right? Britney Spears posting more naked, with an asterisk, okay? This time she's laying on the beach and the surf and the waters, you know, splashing around and everything. But, you know, she's naked. Not topless. She's naked. But they put these little, like, flowers and stuff over the naughty bits. Come on, Britney. We've already seen you naked. What's with trying to cover up things now? Late Night Tonight, Greg Kinnear is on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Sandra Oh, Russell Wilson, and Ciara. Colbert, Bernie Sanders. Oh, they're doing that show live tonight after the State of the Union address. And then Seth Meyers has Amanda Seyfried. Michael Douglas going to play Benjamin Franklin in an Apple TV Plus series. As I mentioned, tomorrow I'll do my review of The Batman. Zoe Kravitz, by the way, says her Catwoman in The Batman is bisexual. Well... All right, Justin Bieber, 28 today. Kesha, 35. Lupita Nyong'o, 39, from Black Panther. Mark Paul Gosselaar, that would be Zach from Saved by the Bell, 48. I know he's done stuff since then. Javier Bardem, 53, married to Penelope Cruz. Nice work, sir. Ron Howard, 68. Catherine Bach from Dukes of Hazzard, 68. Harry Belafonte, 95. Robert Clary, LeBeau from Hogan's Heroes, 96. And that brings us to JC Celebrity Interview of the Day. We're featuring music artists all this week. Yesterday, it was Bob Seger. And thank you for the kind words. I put some stuff up on Facebook yesterday, and people are like, wow, that was a good interview. And it was. And it was easy for us. There are some people who are just easy. And I wouldn't have expected that from Bob Seger. He surprised the living shit out of us as to how friendly he was and just how affable he was. And I'm trying to, you know, produce a good cross-section of all the people that we've had on over the years. But it's good. You know, these are major musicians all this weekend, featuring a different one every day. And because he turns 78 years old today, we're featuring Roger Daltrey of The Who. The year was 1997. The Who was coming in to play Quadrophenia at what then I think it was still called the Riverport Amphitheater. And he was staying in the penthouse suite at the Ritz-Carlton. We got a chance to sit down, get to know Roger a little bit.
For 33 years, approximately, the band's still performing. And people ask me, why? Why are these guys still performing? What would give them the desire after 33 years to still go out and do this? Now, I think I know the answer, but you tell me.
Well, I want to know your answer. It might be more interesting.
Well, honest to God, my answer is that these guys are musicians. It's what they do. What do you want them to do, open a McDonald's?
No, that is one of the reasons. I mean, we are musicians. That's what we do. But it's not the only reason. And we're still pioneering. The Who were always a group that went out on a limb. We came out with Tommy in 1969, and people raised their hands, sometimes in delight, mostly in horror, because it was about a deaf, dumb, and blind kid, which in those days, you know, you didn't talk about those kind of things. And here we are again in 1997, still pioneering. It's a very different show. We're trying to push the boundaries of rock and roll all the time, and as long as we're doing that, I feel it's a valid reason to be out there doing it.
Supposedly there's kind of a St. Louis connection to The Who. Now, if we have the story right, a guy by the name of Bob Heil here in the St. Louis area, somewhat profoundly changed the way we all see, and especially the way we hear, concerts in terms of the overall sound system and the amount of wattage that you pull. Just fill in the blanks for me on this story.
We were the originators of the Marshall equipment. I mean, Marshall made the original Marshall 4x2 guitar amp for The Who. So, you know, we came over here in the 60s with that gear and that called on. We came to St. Louis and this guy, Bob Heil, said, I can make better stuff than that. And he made Hi-Wat. And it was better, actually.
And pretty soon.
But still, you see the people out there today with Marshall. But, I mean, you're all being fooled. I was better.
I've read books that use the term madman to describe Keith Moon, who, of course, didn't make it. He didn't survive the experience. Has history been fair to Keith Moon?
I don't think history really knows Keith Moon. I don't think the general public actually know much about Keith Moon, only the mad side of him. He was an incredibly complex character. I'm in the middle at the moment of actually producing a film on his life, which I hope will get to grips with what Keith Moon was really all about. I mean, he was the funniest man I've ever met in my life.
The funniest man?
Funniest. And I mean,
and you say complex, and do you know the reason for the complexity?
God almighty. If we knew that, he'd probably still be here today, because we could have talked to him in a way that he would have liked to have been talked to. But I mean, he was everything in excess. He was the most generous, the most selfish, the most lavish, the most mean, and he was the most fun, and he can also be the most horrid. But everything was enormously over the top. He used to hang around with the Monty Python crowd. In fact, I'm sure they used to walk behind him, writing down Keith Moon's life and turning it into their shows, because his life was like their shows.
I mean, really, I guess somewhere you have to research and find out if Keith liked Spam.
But I mean, I asked those guys, I said, tell me the truth, you know, have you ever, because they're funny guys. I mean, John Cleese is a funny man. Have you ever met anyone who made you laugh like Keith Moon did? And without doubt, the answer always comes back, no. Never in our lives have we met anyone who comes close. He was just extraordinary. But he had an incredible dark side. I mean, the other side of the coin was as black as the funny side. You know, in black terms, it was very dark.
Another landmark event for The Who was the Cincinnati concert in 1980, fans crushed to death trying to get into a concert using the old festival seating, which was over from that point forward. And I'm not sure that the average fan in the arenas that you play understands sometimes the distance between the band and the promoters. And that while it will always be remembered as the Cincinnati Who concert, that you guys probably would wish that somehow that wouldn't have happened and that would all go away.
Well, of course you wish it wouldn't have happened. I mean, we knew nothing about it at all until the end of the show. I mean, from the front, it happened before the show started. It happened at 7:30 in the evening and we weren't even in the hall. The band weren't even at the venue when it happened. But they didn't know what to do. It was a bad situation, which they felt at the time, because they had, you know, a large crowd inside. They had these people suffering in one of the doorways. They didn't open enough of the doorways for the crowd to get in. They made the decision that it was better to let the concert go on. I mean, and if, let's be honest, if they'd have told us what had happened before we had arrived at the show, I don't know whether we could have gone on. So that might have turned a bad situation into a worse one. It's very difficult, and of course it's one of those things you live with all your life, and if you could change it, you would, but unfortunately you can't. That is part of life.
Let's shift gears a little bit. The principal members, John, yourself, and Pete, you can't have guys having done this for as long as you have without distinct personalities emerging. Just talk a little bit about who's who in The Who, if we want to start playing with words.
Getting bitchy,
here.
Isn't it?
who's the guy most likely, for example, to get a laugh from everybody?
John. John is incredibly witty. Got a very, very dry sense of humor.
Who's the guy that's the voice of reason in the band?
I don't know whether there is one.
last honest man in America. Why bother with stuff like that?
Well, just talk a little bit about the individual personalities and how that manifests itself for the band.
Pete, is a great bunch of fellas. He's one of, he is a genius, and living with that genius, you know, it's like tiptoeing through a minefield with giant boots on when you're dealing with Pete. I mean, that's how he is, you know. You never know which one you're going to get. So I try and be the guy who kind of grounds it, keeps it with at least some kind of anchor to terra firma.
I'm told that you're a half-decent farmer. Is that true?
I'm a very good farmer. Half-decent, yeah.
Tell me about
that. In the 70s, when it all... we were like 25 years old, and the whole world was at our feet. I mean, you can't imagine what it would be like. We had hit record. Everywhere we went in the world, it was like people going crazy for you. The money was beyond your wildest dreams. We didn't realise... what we were earning. We were just spending, as fast as we got it, we spent it. It all disappeared, you know. But it was an insane lifestyle. And I suddenly realised that, you know, I was, could very easily go completely out of control. And I'd moved to the country and started farming. And I met people that were exactly the opposite to showbiz people. Country people were really, they've got something, I wish I had it, I haven't got it. I need to be out there. I can do it for a while, but then I have to get out there, back in the firing line, back to be sniped at. You know, there's something about living on the edge that I still need. These people don't need it. They just go through their life and they live with the seasons, and I really admire that. And that gave me a balance. It was just really like yin and yang. You know?
Do you ever think about how your life would have turned out and how everything for you would have been different had the band not come along? And I guess what, when they found you, you were a sheet metal worker or something?
They didn't find me, I found them.
Yeah.
It's my band, yeah. I used to make the guitars. I mean, listen, there's no way this wasn't going to happen. let me tell you. When you've worked in a factory for 5 years, you play any kind of music and you're halfway decent, and then you end up with someone like Townsend, and you think, hang about, this guy's writing some good stuff here. There's no way I was not going to let it work and make it work. You know?
Have a great time here in St. Louis, Roger Daltrey. A pleasure to talk to you.
And you.
And then we posed for a great picture, and we shook hands, came down the elevator together. What a great guy and a great conversation. Hope you enjoyed that one, too. I'm picking out another real good one tomorrow, and we're featuring some iconic rock and roll stars that have appeared on our various incarnations of the morning show over the last almost 38 years now. So tomorrow, we'll have another goodie for you. And with that, we say that's it. J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, March 1st, 2022 is in the can. 257 days remaining in the American democratic system as we have known it. A review of the Batman tomorrow, as we said. Help keep us in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. That's where we are right now. That's where we'd like to stay. So please spread the word. You can email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We're here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock Monday through Friday, absolutely free. If you miss one, everything is archived, so you can listen whenever you want. Have a great day. Enjoy the great weather. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.